It is 26 and a half past the hour, and it's a Tuesday, and that could mean nothing else. None other than Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don is a biochemist, a member of the board at Creation Moments. In fact, I think he's still a vice chair of the board up there, Don?
I am. Okay. I am still the vice chair, yes.
Isn't there a term limit or something to that? You've been that way for a decade at least.
Is there a term limit? Mm-hmm. Well.
We're talking about climate. We're talking about saving the planet. There is a new school of thought out there that suggests that cutting down trees and burying them will prevent the carbon dioxide from the wood escaping into the atmosphere. Now, it was my understanding, and we've talked with you numerous times about this, that trees absorb carbon dioxide. So how is it that Bill Gates and his like are trying to advance this idea of, now that they say it's partly because of wildfires. So you want to thin forests and then take those trees out and then go bury them. But the real purpose now is to reduce the CO2 in the atmosphere. That seems counterproductive. What's going on here, Don?
Another crazy idea from the crazies. You know, it's just never ceases to amaze me. And one of the things, the arrogance of Mr. Gates is just, you know, underwhelming, really. I mean, he is, he says, you know, leaving, this is what he says about planting trees. So we know that trees are any, you know, green vegetation, for that matter. It doesn't have to be trees, but trees do a great job of sucking up the carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and fixing it in the sugars and the wood structure, for example, the cellulose in the tree or the plant. And so carbon dioxide is plant food for them, as we've talked about, you know, many, many times before. And the other advantage is they take CO2, sequester or capture the carbon out of the CO2, make sugars with it, and then release oxygen. And, you know, the last time I heard, most people need oxygen in order to survive. So doing something destructive to our forest would be have a negative impact on our environment overall. So what they want to do, so Gates says this whole idea of planting trees is crazy. And, you know, it's complete nonsense, you know, to plant trees. And so we need to get rid of the trees, not plant more trees. Well, you know, his idea is complete nonsense. And he even he says, I mean, are we the science people or are we the idiots? And I would suggest the latter, you know, for him and his type of thinking. Bill Gates himself, of course, is a businessman. He has no science background whatsoever. And so for him to represent science is kind of laughable. But he has associated himself with, you know, some scientists. And because the government is throwing money at any project where you can essentially sequester or capture carbon from the atmosphere.
To the tune of over $1 billion recently spent to capture carbon, to sequester carbon.
Yeah, so you got a lot of money behind it, and then a lot of money comes a lot of crazy ideas. And this is one of the crazy ideas to let's take the forest, let's thin them, and let's then bury the trees in the ground, and therefore we sequester the carbon that's in the tree and not have it, you know, burn up. And this is supposed to protect the forest from burning. Well, is that really the case? If we thin this whole practice of thinning forest, which has been around for some time, thinning forest is not a new thing. It's been around for I don't know, probably decades, I would guess. As a safeguard to forest fires. Well, scientists in this field say that thinning forest is actually a bad idea for some obvious reasons. And if you, one is that if you thin forest, then you've got more light coming into the forest, which there more light coming into the floor of the forest is going to dry it out in hot, climates. And thinning forest then allows more wind to blow in between the trees, because now you don't have the protection of other trees to block the wind from blowing in the thinned forest. And so you wind up with much drier conditions on the floor of the forest than you would had you just left the forest alone for it to do its natural thing. And this has been proven. I mean, scientifically, the amount of moisture in the soil from a thin forest compared to a very similar forest that hasn't been thinned, there is a lot more moisture in the soil for the not thinned forest than there is for the thin forest. So the thin forest is going to catch on fire quicker, and it's going to burn hotter, because guess what? Now you have more passageways for the wind to blow, and so more wind creates a hotter burn, if you will, than if you could block that wind from happening. And so you burn up your forest quicker if you thin it out.
So how about cleaning it up? How about cleaning it up, though? Because the argument has also been any downed timber, and this was a big thing up in northern Minnesota, where there are a lot of pine trees and a lot of old trees toppled over and drying out on the ground. Does that not increase the fire hazard?
Well, this is the thing. The research really hasn't been done to say, okay, can we just take the dead stuff away? And maybe we bury that, or rather than actually cut trees down. The first impression would be, gee, that sounds like a good idea. We'll just take the dead stuff away. We take the fuel away, and hopefully, that will mitigate some of the forest fires. But the indeed, your dead trees, for example, how long does a dead tree stick around? Well, you could say, well, it could stick around for a long time. But as soon as that tree dies, then you've got mold and fungus, growing on it. You've got insects that burrow into it and start eating the wood. And, it's not long before that tree is degraded and now becomes plant food for the existing trees that are there. So if you start thinning that way, then okay, you may temporarily take away some of the fuel that might be used for forest fires, but you're also taking away the potential nutrients that are going to help your trees grow in the first place.
So the short of it is, anytime man gets involved, the ecosystem is changed for the worst. We're not really stewards with this whole approach.
Perhaps not. And the problem is that the definitive research hasn't really been done. And so you've got, the president for the Muir Woods Society, for example, saying one thing, and the forester people saying, oh, we need to thin these trees and we need to have rapid growth of our trees so we can make more money and sell more trees so we can make more timber. And then you've got, folks like Bill Gates that's saying, well, you're cutting down the trees. You might as well just bury those trees. But you know, even burying the trees, why not use the wood, you know, for wood products? It's not like we have a oversupply of wood products in this country. And a matter of fact, when we have hurricanes and stuff, you can't get enough lumber in order to rebuild, you know, for a period of time. So, you know, the concept of burying the trees, I don't, you know, maybe burying some of the dead wood might be useful, but the basic problem is that there isn't the definitive studies to say, okay, we're going to take a plot of forest and we're going to do this to it. We're going to take another plot and just leave it alone. We're going to do, you know, this other thing to this other plot, and then we're just going to see what happens over a 20-year period. Now, within that 20-year period, you're probably going to have a natural forest fire, which starts, you know, by lightning usually, or, you know, careless people, you know, walking in the forest, throwing their cigarettes or whatever down or not putting out their forest fires. Remember Smokey the Bear. And you know, ultimately, you're going to have you're going to have a forest fire, and you see, okay, which one did better? Which, you know, cluster of trees, for example, did better in the forest fire? The one that was thinned and we took out trees, the one that was kind of cleaned up under the forest, or the one that was just completely left alone, to see, you know, which one actually had had the better protection. And it wouldn't surprise me that, you know, and I don't know this for a fact, but it wouldn't surprise me that if you just leave things alone, because those dead trees, they also absorb water, and they also protect the ground from evaporation, from groundwater evaporation. So you still have moisture there that you wouldn't necessarily have if you cleaned all of that up. And like I said, not to mention that, you know, you're going to have degradation of that material, which would then, of course, feed the trees that are still growing.
Now, you've mentioned to us a number of times that the Earth has been designed with self-protective mechanisms. Among other things, it can balance CO2 by itself through ocean currents and other forces of nature. So that it's like the Earth protects itself to a large degree. Now, that's not to say it can't be overwhelmed if mankind goes amok and does something terribly wrong. But what happens, and there's another issue here too. It seems to me they're cutting wood in California and they want to bury it in Nevada. Why don't they bury it in their own neighborhood? I mean, what?
Yeah, in their own backyard.
What?
Right?
What does wood do when it's buried? Does that really sequester the carbon?
Well, the carbon's already sequestered in the tree, and if you bury it, then that carbon that's in the tree, instead of burning up, which would obviously then go into CO2, carbon monoxide, and carbon dioxide, depending on how much oxygen is there, as well as other materials from the tree going up into the atmosphere. And so, in essence, you save that tree from burning up, and you get it into the soil. The question is, why Nevada versus California? Well, you know, California is pristine. We can't dig up big holes in California and bury trees. You know, are you crazy? So, you know, it may be as simple as that, or there may be some other reason, like, we want more wood here in Nevada because we don't have it. I don't know why that particular, why they want to transport, which, it, by the way, if you transport all these trees, you know, from one place to another, guess what you're using?
You're burning gasoline.
Fuel in order to get there. And then, of course, you got to dig a hole, which also, you know, uses more fuel. And so this whole thing seems to be, if you looked at it from a holistic perspective, probably not the best thing, you know, to do. overall. But Bill Gates says planting a tree is a horrible idea.
There's one factoid they include in the article here that's of interest, that, and it's estimated that CO2 storage value, the CO2, the carbon dioxide storage value of U.S. forests and grasslands, is equivalent to the annual emissions from 50 million gasoline or diesel-fueled vehicles, which suggests that leaving trees alone might be the wisest thing we could do.
Well, and I, you know, that would be my opinion as well. I mean, obviously we need the lumber. I mean, we build houses with lumber and we do all kinds of stuff with wood. So we have to have some type of, forest management on those areas where we're planting trees specifically to cut them, you know, for lumber. And if the foresters have been doing this for a very long time, and but it takes 20-30 years to get a mature tree, so you could cut it down and use it for lumber. And typically what they do is they go in, the foresters, they'll go in and strip cut everything in that area where they've planted trees, and then take all that lumber out. And there might be some brush that they, the limbs and stuff that they left behind, but they can mulch that down so it would then be become food for the next go round of planting trees in that area. And so you have kind of strip cutting, and I've seen this in California, I've seen this in other areas, and you probably have as well. So just leaving things alone, but these natural forests that we've set aside as here's a forest, a national forest. What do you do with those? And I think the best thing is to leave them alone, because the older the tree, the more CO2 it sequests. So if you're cutting down these trees, and then you're cutting down the future potential of that particular tree sucking up CO2 from the atmosphere. And so you've stopped that process.
Yeah.
And okay. So does that make much sense? Probably not. And then you've got situations, for example, like in Israel, let's just talk about Israel for a little bit, where they're purposely planting millions of trees. And why are they doing that? Because it changes the environment. They're changing a desert into basically a paradise by planting trees. And trees bring water, they pull water out of the atmosphere. Yes, they expire, water, but they basically turn a desert into a garden.
Well, there was a time when Israel was rich with forest lands, particularly the northern half of Israel. And during all the warfare of centuries past, siege warfare, a lot of that wood, the woodlands, were cut down and used for siege ramps and weapons, and Israel was left a near desert. So it is kind of trying to return itself to its natural state, which seems to be commendable.
Yeah, it is commendable, because there is wisdom in doing that, and all the things kind of point to, gee, let's plant more trees, not take out more trees from the forest that we already have. Let's plant some more trees. Even President Trump had a program of planting trees. Now, trees alone are not going to solve the CO2 problem, if indeed there is a problem, and I don't believe there is. But, because CO2, as we've mentioned before, is not very effective at as a greenhouse gas, for example. It's one, the concentration is extremely low. We're at 400 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. That's not very high. We've had thousands of parts per million in the past, as recorded by tree growth and other things. And so you know, here we only we're at 400, you know, parts per million, and they're saying, oh, the CO2 concentration's gone up tremendously since the Industrial Revolution, and that's, well, okay, it's gone up a little bit, but it hasn't really gone up much. But the most sequestering of carbon dioxide actually happens in the ocean. And with natural phenomena like these kind of oceanic whirlwinds that suck carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and deposit it on the ocean floor, but at a must the greatest absorption of carbon dioxide is in green algae. And so algae, which, you know, there's billions and billions of organisms, algae organisms around the world. And, you know, this, it requires water for the algae to grow. And so it's the algae that is sucking up a lot of the carbon dioxide as well. And not that we should have stagnant ponds, that's not very healthy either, but there's algae in the ocean and of various types, and that's doing a tremendous job of sucking up carbon dioxide. Nobody kind of mentions that in their this whole carbon dioxide issue. And they don't mention alternatives than, hey, our pet plan at the moment, which seems to be let's cut down trees and bury them, as talked about in this article.
Somehow this has got to be about money. I mean, Bill Gates is there along with other companies offering seed money for corporations like this Gautama organization to do this, to cut trees down and go bury them. That just... It seems like it's a business deal and has not much to do with the environment, with ecology at all.
Or with science, for that matter.
Or with science.
And yes, so if you're an investor and you want to increase your investment portfolio, the value of your investment portfolio, why not invest in a company that you know is going to get government money? And therefore, its value is going to increase by the fact that it's doing something that the government wants. And so, therefore, you know, the dollar stock that you paid, you know, today is going to be worth $10, $20, or $100, you know, down the road when the government releases the money.
Yeah, I think we've hit on it. Don Clark, a member of the board of Creation Moments, I want to recommend their website to you. It's Creation Moments, all one word, creationmoments.com, and you'll find a reservoir of information, libraries of articles and videos about the biblical story of creation. And it has to do with the science, not that Genesis is science. Genesis, as we've talked about many times here, is history. But it really facilitates the science, which comes to the same conclusion as does the history. Spend some time there, creationmoments.com. Don, thanks very much for joining us. And you taught us something again. We've uncovered another fallacy in the news there. So, all right. We're striking another blow for science here, Don. I think that's what we're doing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know.
All right.
Yeah, have a terrific week, Don. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Yep, you're welcome. Bye.